Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. They do nothing wrong. They walk in his ways. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that came from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word.
Thank you, Duncan. I know you were disappointed not to have to read the whole thing. Just by the way, this is a secret. Keep this on the down low. That is not real. Just for anyone who was wondering. It's a, it is a fake security camera to prevent some of the people that hang out here over the weekends. So if you're worried about that, that is not a real security camera. Let's pray and ask for God's help as we study his word. Some of you are like, I didn't even know that was there. Anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. I thank you that you have spoken to us, that you've not left us ignorant and without a way to know who you are and about you. And I pray, Father, that as we get into it this morning, as we study your word, that we would be blessed and encouraged, and that we would learn more and not just have more knowledge, but that we would be blessed so that we could be a blessing to others. We might increase in our love of you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if any of you have heard of the Serial podcast. Am I the someone knows the Serial podcast? It came out a number of years ago, and podcasts are really common now, but before the Serial podcasts, they were a bit of a niche thing. A podcast is like a radio program, an audio program that will come out, say, once a week. And when the Serial podcast came out, it was the largest podcast that had ever been released. Millions of people listened to this thing all over the world. And it was all about the case of this guy called Adnan Syed, about how he apparently had murdered his girlfriend in the late 90s, and about the questions that raised about whether or not he in fact did that and the police procedures and all kinds of things. Well, I absolutely just got dived headfirst into this podcast. Like, I was listening to it all the time. Probably if you had a conversation with me at that time, I think it was like 2012 or 2014, I probably told you all about that case. And it kind of came to a head when I was at a challenge conference a number of years ago, and I ran into Lyndall Jolly, who some of you will know, and I ended up basically talking about this podcast to her for about 20 minutes, and she was just too polite to say, stop, I don't want to know. It's the kind of thing you have to listen to yourself if you want to get into it. And I guess it kind of became like a bit of an obsession. Like, I just binged this thing. I was just so into it. I was like listening not just to the podcast, but podcasts about that podcast and reading stuff online. It was a bit out of control. And in the final analysis, like, what did it really benefit me to spend all this time listening to this case of this guy, Adnan Syed? I was devoted to it, but it didn't really serve a purpose. I guess what I want to get out to us this morning and us to think about is that there are things that are not worth our devotion, and there are other things that are worth us being devoted to. And coming off the back of church camp, I want us to take a closer look at each of those things that we looked at camp, that being devoted to the apostles' teaching, being devoted to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and of prayer. And this morning we're going to be thinking more about being devoted to the apostles' teaching, or in other words, being devoted to God's word. There's a passage in Philippians that kind of grabs me every time I read it, and Paul the apostle, who when he writes Philippians, he's in jail for preaching the gospel. He has preached about Jesus all over the Roman world. He's seen thousands of people come to Jesus. And then he writes this in Philippians chapter 3, and he goes through how everything in his past is rubbish compared to knowing Jesus. And he says, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Christ. This is somebody who, like, if Paul doesn't know Christ, then none of us know Christ. But he wants to know Jesus more. He is hungry for more. He is somebody who has devoted himself to God, heart and soul. And I want that for myself, and I want that for all of us, that we would be devoted to God, heart and soul, and we express that through being devoted to his word. Now, we're not going to go through all of Psalm 119, but for me, one of the highlights of church camp was slowly going through Psalm 119. We all sat in circles in our group. I don't know how your groups handled it, but we just took turns reading a stanza each. It took about 20 minutes, and it was just this immense blessing of just spending a decent chunk of time with God's Word. And I'm convinced that if we spent more time doing that, if we did more of that, then everything would change. Everything would change. We'd become better husbands and fathers. We'd be better wives and mothers. We'd be better singles and children. We'd be more helpful. We'd be more kind. We'd be more loving. We'd be more encouraging to others if we were filled with God's word. I don't know about you, but I was extremely encouraged just by reading God's word. The psalmist's love for God is infectious. And I'm sure it's something you all noticed as you went through it, the author's devotion to God's word. He can't get enough of it. Verse 16 is a great example. It says, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. He doesn't just read God's decrees. He doesn't just acknowledge that they exist. He delights in them. He rejoices in following God's statutes. Being devoted to God's word means loving God's word. You don't see the psalmist lamenting. It's like, Lord, some bits are really, really hard to read, but I read them anyway. Reading the Bible should not be for us like a dose of cod liver oil. Did anyone receive a dose of cod liver oil as a kid? I don't know if that's still a thing. It probably should be. I was reading that cod liver oil is really good for you. It's got all sorts of good vitamins and minerals. But it tastes foul. And you used to get like a tablespoon of it, and you would just have to put some people are cringing just from hearing it. It was disgusting, and you just had to swallow it, grin and bear it, because it was good for you. Reading the Bible should not be like that. I think it should be a little bit more like running. many of you might know that I've kind of taken up running. And at first, it's really hard, and you don't get very far, and you don't go very quickly. But the more you do it, the faster you go, the further you get, and eventually, you kind of like it. In fact, you love it, and you can't go without it. I've heard. Apparently. I injured myself earlier this week and I couldn't run, and it was actually like, I too miss it. I kind of want to get out there and start running again. My point is if we pick up our Bibles, we try to read Leviticus in a single sitting, we'll probably struggle and we'll probably give up. But the more we read God's word, the more we'll want to read God's word. The more we read God's word, the more we'll want to read God's word. Regular reading and meaningful reading, even, is more important than quantity in a single sitting. Regular reading is clearly the strategy of the psalmist. Have a look at verses 11, 13, and 15. He says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. And 15, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. He hides the word in his heart. He stores it for later. He speaks God's word out loud to remind himself what God has said. Great strategy for when you're reading the Bible. Read it out loud. It's something, just an immense blessing of having it come out your mouth and in back through your ears. And it says he meditates on it. That's an interesting one, because usually when we come across the idea of meditation, it's more of an Eastern form of meditation. It's about thinking less. And there might be some reasons why you might want to think less. But the kind of meditation the Bible is talking about is meditating on things. Verse 15 says, I meditate on your precepts. Biblical meditation is about thinking deeply about what God has said. It's about running it through your mind, contemplating, examining what God has said, mulling on the things that God has said. I think it's one of those things that we've kind of lost touch with in the modern age, because we're always and constantly moving from one thing to another, from one distraction to another. I find this, like, I was even, as I was writing this message, you know, I'd write a little bit and then it's like, oh, I'll just check what's on social media. It's like, why? That's just a distraction. It's just always trying to move from one thing to another and not spending time meditating. Would have been a fair bit easier in the ancient world, I dare say, with fewer distractions. But it's good for all of us. It means time, spending time just thinking about what God has said, interrogating it, asking, why did God say that? Why did he say one thing and not another? Recently, a man from the church I grew up in died. His name was Bill Segda, and he was an extremely gentle and lovely man. He had a very hard upbringing. He grew up in the Ukraine, kind of post-war period. You can imagine Soviet times of extremely hard in Ukraine. I remember one story in particular where they were walking through the fields and they were so hungry, there was nothing anywhere to eat, that they ended up digging up potatoes out of the ground, eating them raw, because they obviously couldn't hang around and cook them. Anyway, he made it to Australia, and all I remember of him is not that he had some sort of leadership position in the church. He wasn't a muso, he wasn't an upfront person in any way, shape or form, but he was devoted to prayer and to God's word. And I can close my eyes and I can see him huddled over his Bible, praying, saying, my Jesus, with his Ukrainian accent. This was a man who was humble and devoted to God's word. There are people that receive praise in this life, and often they are the ones that have received their reward already. But it's the simple, it is the lowly, it is the devoted who will receive their crowns in heaven. A life spent in devotion to God's word is never wasted. Spending our time learning more about Jesus is never useless time. Lots of other things in this world are just useless. Useless in terms of their effect on our lives. Negative oftentimes. This is not a call to neglect our families or our work or enjoyment. But there is no better use of our time than time spent with God in his word. That was the first point. What being devoted is. Why be devoted? I saw an article in the Wall Street Journal, and it was saying that lots of people, most people in fact, maybe America, but here too, are delaying marriage, and women in particular are delaying marriage into their 30s because the thinking goes, if you get married too young, you don't really know who you are, the other person doesn't know who they are, and then you'll end up being divorced. And the stats are that people who get married quite young do tend to get divorced, except there was a big caveat in the data. There was a big exception to that rule. If the people did not live together before they got married, they had a much, much lower risk of divorce. And the people who were doing this research were like, oh, we don't even know. We can't understand why this is. It's just the way it is. they're like, maybe it's got something to do with the fact that if you haven't had to break up a relationship before, it's harder to do for the first time in marriage. Or maybe it's because these people are very religious. And it's like, of course, the fact that these people are very religious has something to do with it. But maybe, just maybe, God's word is true and it works. Maybe. Maybe God's rules are not about making our lives harder, but about promoting human flourishing. The benefit of being devoted to God's word is that we will live a life that is more in harmony with how the world actually works. Do you know, obeying God usually goes so well for people that John Wesley actually lamented that that's what happened. John Wesley was upset that people obeyed God's word and life actually went well for them. He was ministering to a bunch of coal miners in England. I think I've told the story before, but they became Christians. And they came from a background of poverty and drinking and broken households, all that kind of, and physical abuse, all sorts of nasty stuff. And he preached the gospel to these people. These were people that the church would not speak to. John Wesley went out and preached the gospel to them. They became Christians. They stopped drinking. They stopped beating their spouses. They stopped sleeping around and all that kind of stuff. And what do you know happened? Well, they started to save their money. They got rich. And then some of them, because they were rich, got comfortable and they weren't as passionate for Jesus anymore. And so John Wesley's like, oh no, like these people, like their lives have improved so much that it's kind of made some of them lose their passion for the Lord. But there are blessings in God's word. There are blessings in God's word. That's how the psalmist begins. It says, blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his statutes and seek him with all their heart. Happy is the one who lives according to God's instruction. Blessed is the one who reads and obeys the word of God. And even at those times in the psalm where the psalm is at a low point, he finds his strength in God's word. Because God's word is unchanging, it can be something in which we put our hope. I actually think that over the next few years, that's going to be something that people will find extremely attractive. The fact that God's word does not change. Because we live in a world where everything is changing. What is right and good today could be wrong and evil tomorrow. The politics changes. The science changes. Nothing remains the same except God's word. And it is a comfort and a blessing to have something that is certain in this life. God and his word are the same yesterday, today, and forever. See how even in the midst of a lot of change, the psalmist clings to God and his word. Have a look at verses 81 to 88. My soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. My eyes fail, looking for your promise. I say, when will you comfort me? Though I am like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget your decrees. How long must your servant wait? When will you punish my persecutors? The arrogant dig pits to trap me, contrary to your law. All your commands are trustworthy. Help me, for I am being persecuted without cause. They almost wipe me from the earth. But I have not forsaken your precepts. In your unfailing love, preserve my life that I may obey the statutes of your mouth. And you hear how the psalmist is really struggling. He's having an extremely hard time, and he just keeps grasping and holding on to God's word as this one thing in his life that doesn't change. There's a blessing also from reading God's word. It makes us wise. Have a look at verses 98 to 100. Your commands are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. Reading the word makes us wise. It also keeps us pure. Have a look back at verse 9. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. And reading God's word preserves our lives. Have a look at verse 37. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Knowing God's word isn't just a blessing to us, it's also a blessing to others. Many of us have had that experience where somebody has come to us with like just the perfect message from the Bible. Something that came to us at the right time and encouraged us. So there are bad ways, I think, to try to bless people with the Bible. Maybe saying all things come together for the good is not the best thing to kind of throw at someone when they're in a hard time. But how often have you been encouraged and blessed by somebody reminding you of Scripture? Something to think about doing this week, in fact, is as you read the Bible, something encourages you, why not share it with somebody else and encourage them? Third and final point, how to be devoted. There are blessings, there are benefits, all kinds of good reasons to read God's word, to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. But how do we do it? Do we just need to brazen it out? Do we need to take the cod liver oil and just swallow it? Do we just need to form a new habit of reading the word and tough it out until we like it, like with the running example? Maybe. Maybe we do, but that's not all of them. To me, that sounds a little bit like a works-based solution. That if you just need to read more, and then when you read more, you'll like it more. And maybe that's practically how it ends up working. But I'm not sure it works in the long run. I think the most important thing for all of us is first to cultivate a love of Jesus. Cultivate a love of Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, where we get this series from, Acts chapter 2, verse 42, you've got a whole bunch of people that have come to Jesus. They've heard about Jesus for the first time. Maybe they heard a little bit about what happened in Jerusalem, but these people are interacting with Jesus for the first time through the message of the apostles. And they've come to faith, and they want to know. They want to know, who is this Jesus guy that we've just put our faith in? We want to know all about him. And that's why they're devoted to the apostles' teaching. They want to find all about this guy that they have put their trust in. And part of that teaching that the apostles would have been giving them would have come from the Old Testament. Their desire to learn more about Jesus, to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, was motivated by love of Jesus. And yet if our Bible reading is motivated by fear, if our Bible reading is motivated by the desire to be a good Christian and not to fail, then we may well read, but we will just be filling our minds, maybe assuaging our consciences. If our Bible reading is motivated by sheer will, then it might happen, but it'll be unfulfilling. It'll be like a slog that we push through. But if our Bible reading is motivated by a love of Jesus, because this is the place where we find out about what Jesus did for us, that we find out, we see that we're not perfect, that we have sinned against a holy God. And that despite the ways that we have broken God's law, that he sent Jesus to die for us, and Jesus knowing in advance all the things that we would do in our lives, he still went to the cross and suffered the wrath that we deserve out of love for us. It's where we learn about that. It's where we learn that he's loved us with an everlasting love. That God has loved us from all eternity. Before he created the world, he set his love and his affection on us. That's where we learn these things. It's where we find out about him. This is where we meet our God. This is how we grow in our love for him. Cultivate a love for Jesus by reminding yourself of the good news about what Jesus has done for you. And Bible reading will be easier. And secondly, be convinced that it's good. Be convinced that it's good. I don't know if you noticed this, as you went through Psalm 119, it doesn't just talk about reading. He's not just talking about reading for information. No, the words that he uses are law, precepts, instructions, commands, statutes, decrees. The psalmist loves God's laws. Why does the psalmist love the law of God? Because in his mind, it is good. It's good. God's commands are good. His instructions are not to hold us back, but to give us life. Now, we're not subject to the Old Testament law in the way that the psalmist is, but we are subject to the law of Christ. And when Jesus tells us not to hate our brother or to lust or to love our enemies and give to the needy, when the Bible tells us to obey, to avoid gossip, to encourage others, we are not told these things because God hates us, but because he loves us. God's word is good. It is good. It's good when it's telling us how to live, and it's good when it's telling us how other people live, when it's just telling us the history of God's people. After all, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that even the historical bits that we kind of wonder, why am I reading about this? That is for our benefit. 1 Corinthians 10 says, "Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did." The word is good. Be convinced that the word is good. And then we won't be able to help ourselves but come to it. Unlike being devoted to a podcast, or work, or fun, or travel, or relationships, being devoted to God and his word has lasting and eternal benefits. And oftentimes the things we learn are not just a blessing to us, but they're a blessing to others. Being devoted to God means being hungry to know more. Not just for the sake of knowledge, not just to have more facts under our belts, but because knowing Jesus more increases our love for him. And our love for Jesus, our relationship with Jesus, is the most important thing. It is love for Jesus that will transform us. It is love for Jesus that will transform our community. And one of the ways we increase our love of Jesus and demonstrate our love of Jesus at the same time is by being devoted to his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time around your word, and I ask that you would increase our love for you. You increase our love for you, Lord. You tell us to read, to be devoted to your word, not because you hate us, not because you want us to have to slog through something difficult, but because you love us and because it's good. Father, I pray that our love for you might motivate us. Help us, Father, to be people who are devoted to you, heart and soul, hungry to know more about Jesus who died to save us. Father, we thank you for this time around your word. May it be an encouragement to us all. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.